This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:10 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. Up next, we're going to discuss some of the criticisms that have been levelled at Muda ahead of the Johor state election. So some of this is pretty well trodden. I'm just going to run through it fairly quickly. There have been conversations ongoing with Muda and the various parties about seat allocation. And in particular with PKR, I think it ran into some sticky ground. And on February 24th, the party said that it would field their state information chief in Larkin, which puts it on a collision course with PKR, who also has a candidate in that constituency. Several members of PKR have subsequently criticised Muda, variously saying that their behaviour affects the harmony of political cooperation between opposition parties. That came from a former PKR Perak chief. There's also been talks of arrogance. Actually, that's a word that has come up an awful lot. And then the other part of it has also been whose manifesto is going to be used. Because previously, Syed Saddiq had said that they had tried to negotiate seat allocation with PKR up until the last minute, and that Muda is going to be offering its own manifesto, where PKR had previously stated it would lend its support and election machinery only if the party adopted the PAC's manifesto for the polls. We also have phrases like naivete perhaps being thrown around, because, for example, we're seeing Muda saying that their Johor deputy chief, R. Sangren, will contest in Machap, which is a seat with a Malay majority. They are making a similar move in Tenang, actually, by fielding Lim Wei Jet. And in both of those instances, basically, there is a Malay majority, and this is not something that other parties have necessarily done. All of which to say, a lot to unpack. We'd like to hear from you, though. What did you think about Muda's approach in Johor? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line to address these issues directly is Muda founder Syed Saddiq. Saddiq, thanks for joining us. So what can you tell us about the preparations ahead of the election, and what is the final tally of seats that Muda is contesting in Johor?
Muda is definitely the underdog of underdogs in this election. So we're not super ambitious like many other parties who are contesting 40, 50 seats. We are very focused and targeted in 7 seats. We also do acknowledge that the 7 seats are not easy. These are seats which are largely rural to suburban, with a huge presence of Felda and largely Malay majority seats. But while it's difficult, Muda wants to prove itself that we are here to bring the politics of change, the politics of service, and the politics of policies. And with that, we've been working the ground every day. And the good thing about having an army of young volunteers is that they work tirelessly without expecting a single cent in return, but really committed in driving the agenda of change in Johor.
So it's been quite a public disintegration of the partnership between Muda and PKR for seat allocations. Can you tell us what were some of the factors that led up to this?
From the very beginning, Muda believes in a united opposition, a united multiracial opposition. And that's where we immediately entered negotiations with friends from Pakatan Harapan. And in less than a week, we were able to seal a deal with Amanah and DAP. And that's why there's absolutely no seat overlap with Amanah and DAP. With Keadilan, we entered bilateral negotiations since they're using their own flag and they're not using Pakatan Harapan's flag. However, halfway through the negotiations, PKR announced all 20 candidates and their intention to contest in all 20 seats. And Keadilan only wanted to discuss with Muda hyper-Malay majority seats, which are the strongest of strongholds of UMNO. And Muda did not demand for Keadilan's Keadilan seats or their incumbents. We merely wanted to discuss about Bersatu seats, but even Bersatu seats were taken off the table. Unlike friends from Amanah and DAP who were willing to discuss about Bersatu seats. However, we respect the decision of PKR to announce candidates in all 20 seats and to end negotiations early, halfway. And this was even 2 weeks or 1 week and a half before nomination. We respect their call in doing so. And therefore, Muda's next strategy is to minimize seat overlaps in the best way to minimize. So in the end, there's only one seat overlap. Muda is still very much focused on bringing the battle to change state government in Johor and to stop the politics of domino, which is taking place.
So PKR had initially said that it would lend its support and election machinery to Muda only if the party adopted the PAC's manifesto for the polls. And I think that has created some confusion on where things stand. Talk to us about the decision to go against that offer.
And that's why it's peculiar to have negotiations in the open. If you notice for Muda, there was a gag order. We didn't discuss at all about seat negotiations up until the final minute where it was inevitable because all candidates have been announced. And we tried our best, even reaching out to friends in AMANA and DAP to bridge relationship with friends in PKR. But when that didn't work, you know, we had to make a decision. In terms of manifesto and then the number of seats which Muda contested, all of this, to be honest, is new to us because it wasn't informed to us at all in negotiations. That's why it caught us by surprise, where suddenly the president of PKR can say, oh, Muda is demanding 10 seats. That's the first time I'm hearing it. We never once said it. Suddenly saying, oh, we must use the same manifesto. Again, this was never discussed in a meeting. So I think there may be some issues there, but Muda thinks it's much better to discuss issues like this in private. But while we are talking about this, I think we should also look at what's happening in government. People are looking at only one seat overlap in opposition. But can you imagine in Putrajaya, you have Perikatan Nasional, PAS, Bersatu and UMNO together sitting in the same meetings, discussing on national agendas and national policies. But in Malacca and now in Johor, they're fully disintegrated, fighting with one another, overlapping in 54 seats. So usually, again, we often get distracted looking at one seat overlapped in 54 seats. And mind you, we are in opposition, not holding the reins of policy making. These are parties in government who are deciding the future of our country, yet on each other necks and wanting to execute one another on a daily basis. I think that to me is more worrying, especially looking at where our country is heading.
So Muda did announce that it will be producing its own manifesto. Having said that, we are less than 10 days away from polling day. What are the updates there?
We have already released some sneak peeks of our manifestos, especially when it comes to the reopening of the borders swiftly and safely, about generating investments in good industries, about job creation, minimum wage. Some parts have been teased out, but the full manifesto will be released in the next 1 to 2 days. So I look forward for it to be discussed widely and openly, because in the end, we want to ensure that the Johor elections centers around issues of policies, reforms, changes, which every party can bring. Because that's the kind of politics which is constructive, which moves Malaysia forward, no matter who wins.
So what can we expect in terms of environmental policy suggestions, especially given the severity of the floods we have experienced?
Of course, there will be. One of the critical elements of the manifesto is about climate change and flood relief. So do look forward to it, because in the end, issues of climate change can no longer be sidelined. It's a national issue. It is a climate emergency. We should not just discuss about it after a huge, devastating flood. We must invest early and be proactive. Look at the recent floods. It wiped out 7 billion ringgit worth of assets and value. While if we were to invest, I remember the ministry proposed a 350 million ringgit flood relief effort, then we could have prevented this devastating flood. So really, the investment is less than one-tenth of the actual devastating cost of floods. So these are some of the things which Muda will be looking at. And Muda will also be looking at making Johor a hub for renewable energy in terms of solar panels, in terms of allowing green energy to be exported so that we can cross-subsidize the price of electricity. And there are many things in which we can look at innovative ways to move Johor forward, to create high-quality jobs, while being very, very caring in terms of renewable energy and climate change, which I believe are things which should be taken more seriously.
I want to go back to something you brought up earlier, because Muda is fielding non-Malay candidates in Malay-majority constituencies, and this has invited criticism. I mean, people are saying things like Muda is being naive or idealistic. What is your response to that?
Well, Muda is indeed idealistic. We do acknowledge that it won't be easy, but we are here for the long run. We are here to change the hearts and minds of Malaysians into making them believe that a Chinese candidate can serve a Malay constituency and a Malay candidate can also serve a Chinese constituency. What matters is their heart, their track record of service. And these are highly credible people with a great track record of service, with great academic qualifications and heart in policy making. So it's not just in seats. For an example, like Machap, where we put in Brother Sangaran, but at the same time, Putri Wangsa, which is a Chinese majority seat, we put in people like Amir Aisyah. But these are people who believe in a multiracial, diverse Malaysia, who are moderates. So in the end, I firmly believe that at its base, Malaysians are united under one common identity, which is we are Malaysians. We can be a proud Malay, Chinese, Indian, we can be a proud Muslim. However, the umbrella which ties us all in together is our wonderful, beloved country, Malaysia. And I hope that one way or another, if not in this election, but elections in the future, we will be able to drive that message home. And this level of idealism can be accepted, because that's the Malaysia which I want to live in, a Malaysia in which all Malaysians can proudly call this beloved land our home together.
So this is the first election where AVR and Undi 18 are in play. Do you have a sense of what the turnout will be like amongst younger voters?
I think this is where it's very, to some extent, evil of UMNO Barisan Nasional to dissolve the State Legislative Assembly at this very moment. I think it's because they really do not want voters to come out. If you look at it, they dissolved it right after Johor went through immense floods, right? Tens of thousands of family lives were devastated. They were briefed in December and January that in the next 2 to 3 months, cases will reach 30,000 a day, yet they still decided to host an election now. They know that there are about 200,000 Johorians still trapped and stuck in Singapore because the borders have not opened yet. They still decided to call the election now. They also know that many families, especially non-Malay families, have already gone back to their respective hometowns for Chinese New Year and now have gone back to KL, JB, back to Singapore. And yet, they still want to call for elections now. I think this is another element of voter suppression, because they fear a high voter turnout like what happened in G14. And they want a repetition of Malacca where UMNO is able to spend a lot to bring out their voters, but non-Malay voters were below 50%. People who worked in JB, KL, all couldn't go back. And they want that to happen. And that's why I think it's very pernicious and evil of them to do so, because they are banking on low voter turnout, because after Johor, like after Malacca, then if the federal government is still not dissolved, they will pressure the Prime Minister to then dissolve. They will then go to Perak to dissolve the Perak state government. Then maybe to Kedah. And then maybe to Sabah, one by one. That's why I say this politics of domino, it's immensely painful, troubling and destructive for Malaysian politics. So for the Undi 18 generation and the automatic voter registration, I really hope that these young voters will teach UMNO a lesson and reject this politics of arrogance and the politics of domino which hurts our beloved country. We need to put an end, and that end must be in Johor.
As a youth party, though, are you feeling the pressure to leverage on and secure that youth vote?
I've always maintained from the start, no one, including Muda, should take the young voters lightly. Just because they're young doesn't mean that they will support a young candidate. Young voters are highly versatile. They're very smart. They're well-educated. And they care about real-world issues, right? They care about issues of cost of living, affordable housing, economic opportunities, income inequality, issues of climate change. So whoever is able to capture their imagination in moving Malaysia forward will earn their vote. So if anything, we have to work 10 times harder to ensure that the aspirations of young people will be well represented. And that's why if you look at the 7 Muda candidates, these are highly multiracial, moderate, policy-centered people with great experience in their own respective fields. They may not be political juggernauts or political heavyweights, but they have a great track record of service, and believe it is this kind of candidates who can represent the young people best.
So Pejuang Chairman Tun Dr. Mahathir has said if they win, Pejuang is open to forming a state government with parties who share similar values. Where does Muda stand on aligning with other parties?
Muda wants to work with parties who believe in a multiracial, moderate, policy-centered Malaysia. Parties which believe that Malaysia needs to press that reset button, not just a change in government or a change in personality, but business as usual. That's not what Muda stands for. Muda believes that Malaysia's potential is much, much bigger than what's happening now. We should not be falling behind countries like Indonesia, Vietnam, and the Philippines. In reality, we should be at least at par or better than our good ally down south, which is Singapore. The fact that today that there's a whole discussion around foreign investments not going to Indonesia and skipping Malaysia is troubling. The fact that fellow Malaysians today are predicting in the next 10 years, it will not be Indonesians will be sending their workers to Malaysia, but Malaysians moving to Indonesia or working in Indonesia is quite troubling. And the fact that, you know, hundreds of thousands of young Malaysians are now migrating, working in other countries because of the lack of opportunities at home is truly troubling. I believe that Malaysia deserves better, and I hope that whichever party I work with believe in that same agenda. It cannot be business as usual. It cannot just be about personality changes. It is about resetting Malaysia for good.
Sadiq, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
So that was Syed Sadiq, founder of Muda, talking about or responding to, in many ways, some of the criticisms that have been levelled at Muda and their approach ahead of the Johor state election. We'd like to hear from you. Basically, what do you think about that approach? It has seen some alienating of PKR, for instance, but we're yet to see how it'll play out with the people. So you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.